Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. The East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this evening at 7 for a period of Bible study. We urge you to come, bring only your Bibles, and visit with us. If you're completely incapable to attend, log on to eastabbotville.org, and there you can see and hear the services, as well as on the church's YouTube channel and the church's Facebook page. Keep these things in mind this evening at 7. Can you prove that God exists? That's a question that sometimes is asked. But you know, the existence of God is not demonstrable to any of the five senses of man. It must be something that we accept by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So faith is a conviction. But friends, let us understand that faith is a conviction founded upon evidence. And the evidence for the existence of God is overwhelming. The existence of the universe, for example, proves that God exists. Something cannot come from nothing, but something is. Therefore, something always was. The two things that now exist are mind and matter. Either matter is eternal and created mind, or mind is eternal and created matter. There must be a first cause. Since mind is superior to matter, then it's more reasonable to believe that mind is eternal and created matter. This eternal mind is Jehovah God. Genesis 1 verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6, "You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all of her host, the earth and everything on it, the sea and all that is in them, and you preserved them all. The host of heaven worships you." In Psalms 89 and verse 11, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all of its fullness, you have founded them." And then in Acts 17 and verse 24, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." So we see then, not only that, but an orderly design of the universe proves that God exists. Countless stars with their planets blaze through space so accurately that there's never a collision or even a near miss. You know, scientists can predict an eclipse of our sun or moon to the exact minutes, hundreds of years in advance. The Earth's revolution around the sun takes 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 45.51 seconds. The Earth's distance from the sun and the moon, its tilt and its rotation upon its axis, the depth of the ocean and the thickness of the Earth's crust are all precisely what's necessary for life here upon this Earth. You know, it's mathematically impossible that such a marvelous universe could be the result of blind chance. It must have been designed and built by someone. In Hebrews 3 and verse 5, "Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of things which should be spoken thereafter." So that someone is God. In Psalms 8 and verse 3, "When I considered your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. In Psalms 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And then the statement in Romans 1 and verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Not only that, but the presence of life proves that God exists. Science is unable to explain the origin of life. However, it does know that life always comes from life. If there ever was a time when no living thing existed, then there never could be any life. So since the universe is alive, some living being has always been, and that life-giving being is the living God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, nor is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 15, and saying, men, why are you doing those things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that which you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that are in them. Excuse me, in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9 says, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had under you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10, it says, for this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. And then Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And the psalmist says in Psalms 42 and verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So the presence of life proves that God exists. But also man's belief in God proves that God exists. You know, if there is no God, then where did man get the idea of God in the first place? Man's incapable of inventing such a one as God, yet people of every nation or tribe in all ages have believed in a supreme being of some kind. The earlier the religion, the fewer the gods, with traces of monotheism being found among all of ancient people. This one God is Jehovah. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 35, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God, and that there is none other besides him. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 39, therefore know this day, and consider it in your heart, that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. In Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6, it says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you will not know me, that you may know him from the rising of the sun to the setting, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. But also man's moral nature is proof that God exists. You know, in every person, there is an innate sense of right and wrong. He feels that he must answer to some higher power for his need. This is what's called conscience. And there is no evidence of such in any of the lower forms of life. Why do people think it's permissible to kill and eat a pig but not a man? Why do they look with horror upon Hitler's slaughter of the millions of Jews if there is no God? See, the very presence of moral law proves the existence of a great lawgiver and a great judge. In Psalms 19, in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In Genesis 18 and verse 25, it says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, that's why we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And then too, the life and the teaching of Jesus Christ proves that God existed. You know, this unique person claimed to be from God, and he claimed to be God. In John 8, verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." In John chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus said to them, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." And then we find this mighty works that Jesus did, they all confirmed his claim to be the Son of God. That was the purpose for which the miracles were performed. Even his resurrection from the dead established the fact that he was from God, beyond question. Look, for instance, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, "And he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." So we see then, he fulfilled all Old Testament scriptures concerning himself, and that's a lesson within itself. He was the greatest teacher of all times. His life was perfect. We know in John chapter 8 and verse 46, he said, "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me?" And then Peter made the statement in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, that "for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And his sacrifice, it was supreme." In Romans chapter 5, we read in verse 8 that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So truly, Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. In Matthew 1 and verse 23, the angel said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." So truly, he was God manifested in the flesh. And one last passage we want to look at is John 20, verse 28. "Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe.' And truly did Jesus many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." One may have difficulty believing at times, but friends, it's much harder not to believe than it is. We see that our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you tune in again. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.